Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. When I was a graduate student at Harding Graduate School of Religion in Memphis, I heard Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross speak on death and dying. I was definitely impressed by her great knowledge and by her compassion for the dying and their families. Dr. Kubler-Ross spoke with a heavy German accent, but her message came through loud and clear. She was born in Zurich and attended the University of Zurich Medical School, where she obtained her medical degree in psychiatry. She currently resides at her Healing Waters farm at Headwaters, Virginia. She travels all over the world, teaching people how to deal with their own death and the deaths of their loved ones. She has made it easier for some people to talk about death and to think about their own mortality. I commend her for rendering this service to the nation and to the world. The Tennessean, Sunday, January the 22nd, 1995, published a brief article with the title, "Expert on Dying Denies Death." Since this article is brief, I shall read it in its entirety. Is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross deconstructing her life's work on death, or is she just in denial? The doctor became a pioneer 25 years ago with the publication of Death and Dying, What the Dying Have to Teach Doctors, Nurses, Clergy, and Their Own Families, which focused on the needs of the terminally ill. Readers may get a jolt from her latest book, On Life After Death, in which she says death does not exist. Kubler-Ross devised the now famous stages of dying: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. But she says in an interview in Sunday's New York Times Magazine that, even as she was molding attitudes toward death, her own thinking quietly evolved as she heard the life-after-death experiences of her patients. She was afraid then to write about her mysticism. And though she has not published much on the subject, she has lectured to thousands. "Everyone knows what I believe," says Kubler-Ross, who is now 68 years of age. Page 3A. I have two questions I need to ask you before we examine the Bible's teaching on death. Has Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross discovered some truth which Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, had never learned? Or has she fallen for the original lie which Satan told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? God had warned Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. If they ate of the forbidden fruit, they would bring death on themselves and on the entire human race. But Satan said, "You shall not surely die." Genesis 3:1-4. God was right. Satan was wrong. We are now paying for the consequences of our first parents' grievous sin, regardless of Dr. Kubler-Ross's unreasonable approach to death. The Bible's teaching on death could hardly be plainer or more realistic. The words of Jesus, as recorded in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John, leave no doubt about the reality of death. Our Lord never left the impression that death was an illusion. In his story of the rich man and Lazarus, he said, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, and was buried." Luke 16:22. Jesus next discussed what happens to the righteous and the wicked after death. But that is not our major concern today. Both rich and poor die. There are no exceptions to that rule since the days of Enoch and Elijah. On one occasion, Christ prayed, "Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, who stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spoke to him." Now please listen carefully to the very words of our Lord. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. John 12:33. Did Jesus believe he would really die? Or was he deceiving his immediate followers and us? Not only did Jesus predict the manner of his own death, he spoke to the apostles concerning their deaths. He said to them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them who stand here, which shall not taste of death, until they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Mark 9:1. Christ did not tell his disciples when they would die, but he did tell them that they would die, some before and some after the kingdom of God had come with power. One cannot read this verse and conclude that Jesus thought death was an illusion. The death of Lazarus provides some powerful lessons for modern men. When Jesus heard of the death of his friend, he said to his followers, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. The disciples did not understand our Lord's statements. If Lazarus were just sleeping, they reasoned, he will soon awaken and be all right. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them very plainly, Lazarus is dead. John 11:11-14. Was he really dead, or was Jesus mistaken? What did Christ mean when he said to Martha, And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11:26. Our Lord surely recognized the reality of death. Lazarus is dead. But he knew that physical death was not the ultimate reality. He knew and promised that all men are going to be raised from the dead. Please listen to these words from the Lord of the resurrection. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they who have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28-29. The apostles also taught clearly and emphatically that death is real, a genuine fact, not an illusion. In the following passage, Paul draws heavily on the Genesis account of man's fall from grace. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude or likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Romans 5:12-14. The book of Hebrews has much to say about death. Please listen as I read these beautiful passages. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Hebrews 9:22. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Hebrews 11:5. If Dr. Kubler-Ross were right that there is no death, how could there be a resurrection? Yet Paul shows conclusively that the resurrection of Christ is the very heart of the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. What sense would it make to speak of our Lord's resurrection or ours if He did not die and we do not die? My friends, I do not have to consult the Scriptures to know that we die. I see death on a regular basis, on television, in the community where I live, and among friends and family members. But I do not know what will happen to us after death, except by reading what Jesus and His apostles taught about life after death. The good news is that Jesus Christ's resurrection overcame the permanency of death. With the Apostle Paul, we can ask, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. Christians can say with Paul, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Any religion or philosophy which teaches that death is an illusion is false and destructive. It simply is not dealing with reality. But there are world religions such as Hinduism and cults such as Christian Science which deny the reality of death. Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor scientific, has taught for years that pain, sin, and death are illusions. They are misconceptions and misunderstandings of the human mind, which Christian Science can alleviate. I do not make these charges with any ill will, but there is no question about their truthfulness, as I shall conclusively demonstrate. Dr. Richard Lee and Dr. Ed Heinzen have provided a great amount of information on cults and alternative religions in their new book, Angels of Deceit: The Masterminds Behind Religious Deceptions. These authors point out that Christian Science, like Hinduism, thinks of matter as an illusion. They record these words from Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is real and eternal. Matter is unreal and temporal. Page 172. How can any teacher or philosophy, especially those who claim divinity for themselves, as Mrs. Eddy did, deny the reality of matter? If a person thinks matter is unreal or an illusion, let him try walking through a brick wall or jumping from a 10-story building. Not one Bible writer, from Moses to John, ever doubted or denied the reality of matter, of pain, and of death. The Bible begins with these words, In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Was a divinely commissioned writer affirming that God created an illusion, that matter did not really exist? If matter is unreal, an illusion, how would you explain these beautiful verses from Psalm 148? Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, bees and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Psalm 148:3-4, 7-10. How could unreal heavenly bodies and earthly creatures praise their Maker if those bodies and creatures do not exist? Christian Science and other systems which deny the reality of matter and of death defy good logic and good science. Mrs. Eddy also believed that sin, sickness, pain, and death were illusions. She wrote, The only reality of sin, sickness, and death is the awful fact that unrealities seem real to human, erring belief, until God strips off their disguise. She defines death as an illusion, the unreal and the untrue. Page 172. When messengers were sent to Jesus to inform him of the sickness of his friend Lazarus, why did he not inform the messengers? My friends, you are mistaken about Lazarus. He may think he is sick, and you may think he is sick, but it is just an illusion. When Jesus learned of the death of Lazarus, why did he act as if his friend was dead when he knew, if Christian Science is right, that he was not dead? It only seemed he was dead. Our Lord did not mince words when he declared, "Lazarus is dead." John 11:14. If the Scripture said nothing more about the reality of death than what I have read to you from John 11, that would be sufficient to let us know where the Son of God stood on the matter of death. He knew death was real and universal. He came to this earth to overcome the effects of death. The Scriptures never deny the reality of death, but they do say that death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54. In spite of the fact that Mrs. Eddy denied the reality of sin, of sickness, and of death, late in life she had to wear glasses. She also had to use dentures, and for many years suffered declining health. Dr. Richard Lee and Dr. Ed Heinson say of Mrs. Eddy, "On December 3, 1910, Mary Baker Eddy, who taught that death was an illusion, succumbed to that illusion and died." Page 172. I do not wish to be abrasive or irreverent, but Christian Science was shown to be unbiblical, unreasonable, and unscientific by the death of its founder, Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy. What troubles me about Christian Science is that hundreds of thousands of people still believe in Mrs. Eddy's teachings, although they have been disproved over and over. My friends, you do not have to examine the Bible to ascertain whether or not Christian Science is false. Just go to the funeral home or go to the graveyard. The millions of people who have died since the beginning of the world are all powerful, unanswerable arguments against Mary Baker Eddy's view of death. Mrs. Eddy even believed that the body of Jesus Christ was spiritual rather than physical. According to Mrs. Eddy, Jesus was born of Mary's spiritual thoughts. Mrs. Eddy was promoting, whether or not she knew it, the same unscriptural views as the Gnostics in the early centuries of the Christian era. John could not have spoken more plainly against such error than in the passage I am about to read to you. "Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit which confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." 1 John 4:3-4. Christian Science is not just wrong. It is Antichrist. Since Mrs. Eddy denied the reality of matter, you would expect her to doubt the efficacy of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. "The material blood of Jesus," she wrote, "is no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the accursed tree than when it was flowing in his veins." Such statements border on blasphemy. The Apostle Paul did not share Mrs. Eddy's views of the blood of Christ. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." Romans 3:24-25. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5, 7 through 9. If sin and pain and death are not real, as Mary Baker Eddy taught, then New Testament Christianity is the greatest deception ever foisted on gullible men. But matter, pain, sickness, and death are real. Any attempt to show otherwise will destroy itself on these realities. The New Age movement, which borrows many of its concepts from Christian Science and from Hinduism, also teaches that death is not real. Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb, claims that human beings create their own reality. These are Shirley MacLaine's words. Life, lives, and reality are only what we each perceive them to be. Life does not happen to us. We are creating our own reality every moment of the day. For that is the truth of ultimate reality and the ultimate responsibility. Perhaps, she says, there is no such thing as death. Page 9. In another of her books, Dancing in the Light, Shirley MacLaine tells her mother, Mom, you know that you'll never die, even when you go. If you feel that they, that is, the spirit guides, are real, then they are real. Page 74. This is mysticism gone to seed. My friends, the spirit guides are either real or they are not real. Whatever you and I think about them or any other idea does not alter their reality or unreality. The truth of the matter is, they are not real. They are the figments of someone's overactive imagination. Some of you may have heard of J.Z. Knight, one of the leading lights in the New Age movement. She invented an entity she called Ramtha, who is supposed to be a 35,000-year-old discarnate spirit. In one of her books, A State of Mind, Ramtha, My Story, J.Z. Knight asked Ramtha, If someone murders someone else, you mean the victim wanted to die? She quotes him as having said, That which you term victim does not die, entity. No one ever dies. That be a great truth. Page 328. If you will pardon my English, that no one ever dies is a great lie. Dr. Steven Weinberg has collected a number of Ramtha's sayings and published them in a book with the simple title, Ramtha. A few excerpts from this book will show that the kind of wisdom Ramtha spews forth is the kind James had in mind when he wrote, This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. James 3:15. Please listen to these excerpts. Death is an illusion, for it is of the body only. Page 52. No one has to die. You will die only if you believe you will. But the body need not ever die. The body could live hundreds of thousands of years and never grow old. Page 73. When your pituitary gland is in full bloom, you cease to die. You cease to grow old. Whatever you tell your body to do, it will do. You can even resurrect your body from the dead. Page 189. If you are God, as many New Agers foolishly claim, then obviously you could resurrect your body from the dead, if you ever died, which you would not have to if you were a God. May I remind you that this was Satan's original lie. You shall not surely die. My friends, the so-called life-after-death experiences, which Dr. Kubler-Ross mentioned in the article in the Tennessean, are not genuine. But there is good news for all who believe in Jesus Christ. When you die in the Lord, you will be raised to life eternal. Our Lord told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus was not denying the reality of physical death. He was teaching that physical death is not the end of man. At the end of the age, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 and 57. My friend, if you want to be raised to life eternal, you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and live for Him until He calls you home. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you will confess His name before men and before our Heavenly Father, if you will repent of your sins and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, God will forgive you and place you into the body of Christ, where salvation, redemption, election, and all other spiritual blessings are found. If we can be of any assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel, please feel free to call on us. Thank you for listening today, and may our Father in heaven bless you.